Proverbs 30, verses 24 to 28. Four things on earth are small, but they are exceedingly wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they provide their food in the summer. The rock badgers are a people not mighty, yet they make their homes in the cliffs. The locusts have no king, yet all of them march in rank. The lizard you can take in your hands, yet it is in kings' palaces. It's the reading of God's word.
Thanks, Jeff, for praying and for reading the scripture, and glad that, maybe something new for us today. And thank you, worship team, for kind of setting the stage for us and helping us enter into God's presence. This past week was the NBA draft. That is where the professional basketball teams drafted their players for the next year. And you probably don't need to know much about basketball, but help me out here. Who do you think got drafted higher? The shorter guys or the taller guys? That was pretty easy. Not just in sports, but that's kind of the world we live in, isn't it? Bigger is better. Ever feel that way? Bigger is better. Stronger is better. More money is better. Being more persuasive is better. But what about the little guy? Is smaller ever better? No, no way. Well, sometimes smaller is better if it's wiser. That's what we're going to talk about today. I want to take a lesson from God's creation and look at four creatures that are small, not very strong, pretty vulnerable, that you can easily catch them, not much to them, but they're wise. And I feel like I'm in good hands or good company, because Jesus says, consider the birds, look at the lilies of the field. So this week, kids, when you go on your vacation Bible school and talk about God's creation, there's great wisdom to be had there, isn't there? To learn about the Creator from God's creation. Most of the Proverbs in our Old Testament are written by Solomon. This last chapter, toward the end, Proverbs 30, is written by a man named Agar. And here's how it starts out. Four things on earth are small, yet they are extremely wise. Now, when God talks about being wise, it's not you have high IQ. Wisdom is more skillful living. That is, here's how God's created the world. How should you live in it? I need to be wise on how to do that, on how to live my life. So if you want to be wise this morning, who'd like to be wise? Good. See a bunch of wise guys out there. That's good. We do. That seems pretty practical and obvious. I want to be wise. Now, oftentimes, things that seem small and insignificant by the world standards, God says, no, wait a minute, don't jump to conclusions. These are wise. But what are these four little but wise creatures? Let's look. The first one is the ant. What's so wise about the ant? It's in the preparation they make. And you're going to see on each of these, it's going to say, well, these creatures are small, and here's a problem or a weakness, but here's how they're wise. The ant. They're creatures of little strength, yet they store up their food in the summer. Now, we all know what ants are. They're not very strong, Now, I guess if they were the size of a human, they could be pretty strong. But relatively speaking, they're just little. In fact, with one step, you could crush one or a bunch of them, right? Gone. That's it. They're not going to fight back. But they work. They prepare for the future. It says it stores up their food in the summer. Summer. We finally have summer here in Minnesota, although some it can be short. So we Minnesotans enjoy the summer while we have it. Summertime is time for picnics. And if you're not careful, ants will come to your picnic too. While you're sitting there enjoying your burger and drinking your pop, the ants are carrying off the sugar one little speck at a time. And if you're not careful, they'll come back for the potato salad and the brownies, too. I mean, and what are they doing with it? They're storing it up. They're planning it. Where are ants in the winter? We have long winter in Minnesota. Well, where are they? You don't see them, right? Thankfully. Well, somehow they're surviving. How'd they do that? With the food that they've prepared. So what do? They plan ahead, right? They work hard now for the future. Solomon, earlier in Proverbs 6, he said the same thing. Proverbs 6, 6 through 8. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler. Yet it stores its provisions in the summer and gathers its food at harvest. It works ahead. And why is that wise? Well, because there's going to be a time where you can't do that. You're older. You're tired. Or you're dead, and you can't work anymore. Jesus gave the illustration, the parable, in Matthew 25 of the 10 bridesmaids getting ready for the wedding and for the groom to show up and for things to get started. Five of those bridesmaids were prepared and five weren't. And then it was too late. Wisdom says, I'm going to work now, so that I'll be ready for the future. We see that in a lot of different areas. Now, I know school is out for the summer, but let's take your academics. You need to learn this now. You ever hear that from your teacher or your parents? You got to know this. Oh, why do I have to know this? Well, because down the road, you're going to need to learn to read or write or think critically or do math or whatever. And so you prepare now for later. I think of knowing our Bibles. We read them and study them and memorize them and meditate on them now so that when it feeds us now, but we can store that up so that in the dead of winter, in those difficult times where we go, God, I need a word from you. Or at the quick moment and you don't have a Bible or whatever. Oh, if I just had God's word in my heart or in my mind. And there it is. We do that personally, right? We save up money for a special thing. We plan ahead for that. We work ahead on a school project, or maybe you're on a sports team or in a music group, and you practice. Why do you do that? In our wrestling room, our coach had this poster on the wall, and I'd heard it before. Practice makes perfect. He made it. Perfect practice makes perfect. Like, that's even harder. Well, why do you practice your sport or your musical instrument? Because when it's time to perform, you're ready. So the ant helps us realize, I better work now to prepare for the future. Now, saving, we use the expression saving for a rainy day. Let me just say one more thing about this. Saving is different than hoarding. Hoarding, when people hoard, they lack a certain trust in God. It's usually done in secret and kind of a selfish motive behind it and not, oh, I don't think so. That's different than what we're talking about. We're talking about saving and preparing and looking ahead. It's designed to meet future needs. Hoarding usually has some fear and maybe some greed behind it. Saving is just preparing for the future and directed by God. God, I'm going to trust you. All right, so there's our first little creature, the ant. Next one, the rock badger. In different translations, it also, well, let's read the verse. It says, rock badgers are creatures of little power, yet they make their home in the crags. Your Bible might say rock, well, you think, well, what's a rock badger? In other versions, it's called a hyrax. Oh, yeah, that helps a lot. What is that? Or a coney. Now, not a New York-style hot dog. Different words for the same kind of little creature. Think prairie dog. Well, let me describe it for you. It's a little bigger than our prairie dog. They're gray, so they blend in nicely in the rocks. They're really a size of sort of a rabbit, but not long ears. They got short little feet. They're cute, but they're vulnerable. There's not much defense in themselves. But what they lack in that says they have some wisdom. Because they make their home in the rocks. Like called a rock badger. So when the predator comes, vulture, an eagle, a lion, a wolf, a snake, they can retreat to their home. Now, if they get daring and decide to go out on the prairie, I don't know if the Middle East doesn't really have prairies, but the desert, if they go out in the open, they're going to be very vulnerable. No matter how courageous they are, they can't run very fast, they've got short little stubby legs, they got to stay near the rocks. Why are they wise? Because they know where their security lies. They know the protection that they enjoy. Psalm 104, verse 18. The high mountains belong to the wild goats. The crags are refuge for the rock badger. They're small, but they know where their security is. Let's talk about security. If you're going to be, and I are going to be smart like this little guy, we're going to know where our security, our protection, who's going to provide and protect us. Psalm 18 says this, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge. That's verse 2. Verse 31. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? Verse 46. The Lord lives. Praised be to my rock. Exalted be God my Savior. Now we know that God's not a giant boulder. But rock describes protection and security. And where do I go to find that and feel secure and safe? Now, there are some people who know God, of course, but don't realize their weakness or their dependence. And they get a little self-sufficient and vulnerable and maybe even arrogant. I can do this all on my own. There's others who maybe know their weakness. Why, I can't do this all on my own. but they don't know God. And so when trouble comes, they feel vulnerable and depressed and impotent and thinking, I'm not going to make it. Where do I even turn? Jesus says that the wise person, you know the Sunday school song, the wise man built his house upon the rock. There you go. The foolish man, he built his house, and it's not talking about a structure, but how you build your life. The foolish man built his house on the sand. And when the troubles of life came, both for the foolish man and the wise man, the rains came, the floods came, the wind came, trouble, stuff happens. The wise man, his life holds together. The foolish man falls apart. Your church is going through a time of transition. And maybe some of you are nervous. What's going to happen? Where do we look? Yes, God uses people to help lead a church, but ultimately, it's God. And the wise person sees their security and foundation and protection in God, the rock. And if you feel a little nervous and vulnerable, and it makes you run to God, like this little guy says, I better run back to the rocks. That's a good thing. God is more than able to protect us, provide for us. So learn from this little guy. Be wise as an ant. Be wise as a rock badger. Let's talk about another one. The locust. What's so wise about them? Locusts have no kings, yet they advance together in ranks. It's the partnership that they share. Most frequently mentioned bug in the Bible is the locust. It's interesting. They have no king. No, I don't know if this is how it would be, but no bigger locust. Hey, I'm the king locust. Follow me. There's no locust like that. Unlike other animals, like the Canadian geese, you know, where you see the leader at the front, or the pride of lions and the lion is leading or whatever, locusts don't have that. But by instinct, they know they have to work together. Now, if you come across a grasshopper in your yard, and it jumps up, it may startle you, but you're really not worried. What can one grasshopper do? But if he joins with a couple thousand of his buddies, then that's trouble. You remember one of the plagues in Egypt with Moses, you know, in the Ten Commandments? It was the plague of locusts. They can do a lot of damage. And they could be huge. Not even just in the Bible, but even today. There was one particular swarm that was spotted as far as 1,200 miles out at sea. They were flying northward from West Africa toward the British Isles. Another swarm covered a breadth of airspace no less than 2,000 square miles. Wow, how many locusts are in that? That's a lot. But if they don't have a king to lead them and get organized, then how do they survive? How do they do everything? There's unity. Locusts always work together. Usually hundreds of thousands. And apparently, every member sort of knows its place. The verse said they're even in ranks. They just sort of come together like they should. There's wisdom in that, isn't there? that if Christians moving and ministering together, cooperating, teamwork, unity, can be very, very effective, can't we? Well, that's true, you know, in your family, in the classroom, in a church, in a company. When you work together, it's amazing how God can use you. I think as Christians, if we banded together with other Christians on things that we can on major issues which we can really agree on, we could do a lot of damage, in a sense, like the locust can. I don't know your church here or where you fit in, but I hope, and I've got a little taste of this already, I hope that you've found a place here to serve, to be part of this group, to be part of a team, a ministry team, somewhere, where you can serve together. And it's not just you all by yourself, but you're working with other believers. Great. The wisdom of the ant, of the rock badger, of the locust. One final one. The lizard. What are they all about? Well, it's sort of the position that they occupy. Verse says, a lizard can be caught with a hand, yet it's found in king's palaces. Now, what kind of a lizard are we talking about? A Komodo dragon? An iguana? No, we're talking about a gecko. You know the little Geico car commercials or whatever? It's just a little guy. And it says they're easy to catch. You know, now in Minnesota we don't really have these, a lot like these. We're kind of too cold. But in warmer climates, like Florida or Texas or certainly the Middle East, they're all over the place. And they're relatively defenseless, right? They don't have big teeth or claws or, you know, whatever. Even a child can hold it in its hand and not get worried about it. They're easy to catch, yet somehow they show up in the king's palace? How's that work? Well, usually these guys come out at night and they eat insects. And you'd think, I think this is part of the proverb, the point of the proverb, if they're easy to catch, then you'd think they'd be easy to get rid of. Right? Like, oh, well, let's, I don't know if this is a thing, but let's go lizard hunting. And you just catch them all and throw them outside or something. But they keep showing up. How do you get rid of these guys? Here's my word. There's persistence. Somehow, they find the cracks in the wall. They blend in. They keep coming back. And lo and behold, in the king's palace, where you'd want everything fancy, right, and whatever. And we got lizards. Didn't we get rid of them yesterday? Yeah, we did, but they're back. Well, these little guys, they don't appear to have much, and maybe they're at the mercy of other people, but there they are. I think we as Christians, maybe sometimes we think of ourselves that way, where, I'm nobody special, I'm kind of vulnerable, or even as a whole group. We Christians, we're not taking over the world, and we're not very persuasive, and things are looking bad. You know, what can we possibly do? How can we ever make a difference? Well, I think that's part of the proverb here in the wisdom of persistence. Keep going. When the going gets tough, the tough go shopping. No. You know, what do you do when the going gets tough? when things aren't going like you thought they were. Where you're the only believer at the place where you work or the neighborhood where you live. Think, what can I do? You keep going. You don't fold up, you hold up. And you say, God, you've placed me here. I'm going to trust you. I'm not going to let life's obstacles or challenges get to me. And keep going. And lo and behold, I may not end up in the king's palace, but I'm going to have more influence and presence than I dreamed of, than I thought of. Little old me, look at that. Well, what have we said? I've entitled this Big Lessons from Little Creatures. What were they again? The ant and his preparation. The rock badger and protection. The locust in the partnership. And lizard in the persistence. So next time you think you're small, you're insignificant, you're weak, you're easily detected or defeated. Remember the wisdom from these little guys. Yes, the proverb even said, yes, here's a deficiency or a weakness or something you wouldn't think would help the situation, but here's how they're wise. Now, as I'm wrapping this up here today, I was thinking, you know, this is more than I hope you accept this this way. This is more than just sort of a motivational talk. I didn't want this to be just a worldly pep talk, like plan ahead, be secure, play nice with others, and don't give up. It's more than that, isn't it? This is God's wisdom. Applied in God's way and empowered by God's strength. Wisdom from God. And God says, if you lack wisdom, in the book of James, he says, if you lack wisdom, ask God for it. God, I need wisdom. And then fill in the blank. On this decision, on this, on that, on what. God, I need your help. These little creatures not only had wisdom, but they applied it, right? They lived it. They did something about it. That's what wisdom is. It's very practical, skillful living. Okay, this is how I'm going to live. So ask God to do that. Let me close with one final illustration of a human. This lady is small, but wise. She's rather short, less than 5 feet tall. And if you see a picture of her, she's nearly bent over from osteoporosis. And so she appears shorter even in her later years. I'll give you a picture of her. Her name is Mary Teresa Bojaku. She's an Albanian, Indian, Roman Catholic nun and missionary. Most of you probably know her as Mother Teresa. In 1929, she moved to India from Albania. In 1950, she founded the Missionaries of Charity, which now have over 4,500 workers. They're active in 133 countries with missions and schools and soup kitchens. They have a worldwide ministry to the poor and those suffering from leprosy and AIDS, tuberculosis, and poverty, and a host of other things. Mother Teresa is fluent in 5 languages: Bengali, Albanian, English, Serbian, and Hindi. I'm still working on English myself. In 1979, she won the Nobel Peace Prize. She accepted it, but with the condition that the $192,000 cash award would be given away to the poor.
She didn't receive a dime. Let me finish with this wise quote by her. She says, "By blood, I am Albanian. By citizenship, an Indian. By faith, I'm a Catholic nun. As to my calling, I belong to the world. And as to my heart, I belong entirely to the heart of Jesus." Small, but wise. Join me as we pray. Lord, we realize that we are small and weak, and we need your help. But that's good news, that we come to you. Help us, Lord, to be wise and use the blessings and the resources that you've given us. Help us to translate that just into practical, wise, skillful blessings and practicalities in where we live, where we work, the people we interact with our family or our friends, our neighbors. Thank you, Lord. Continue to work in us and through us for your glory. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let's go with this benediction from the book of Ephesians. "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen."